Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store. For all your Disney grocery needs, they will deliver to any of the fine Disney resorts. Contact Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in a deluxe resort at reduced prices, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of their Orlando attraction, contact Elite at elitevacationhomes.com. And you can find all of our fine sponsors on our website at It's All In WDW. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train, head over to the pub, and we'll talk to you soon.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Dan, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, because we're also joined by our good buddy, our Animal Kingdom expert, John Peters. All aboard. How you doing, John?
Good, good. How you doing, fellas?
I'm just envious of you riding the train, as Pat says. I'm, like, so jealous of your entire life.
I don't know about my entire life.
Well, that's what Pat's saying. I want to be you, man. So I want to be you, John. That's so how you doing, Johnny?
I'm good, good, good. A little tired. I'm working 7 days a week now, so it's my second week of it. So it's going to catch up to me at some point. But
the pixie dust has worn off.
No, I'm still enjoying that, but it's rough when I don't know. I'm you know, getting off at off over there at like 6 o'clock, and then it takes me 2 hours to get home. We get home at 8 o'clock, and then I'm still trying to make spaghetti on Saturday night. We're eating at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then I'm trying to grill last night. I'm grilling at 9 o'clock and getting back up at 5 to go back to my full time job. So it's gonna catch up to me. So
nah, that gets old quick. But imagine if it was a job you didn't like.
Oh, I don't know if I would have lasted already. So, I got to do. I like driving the train. I like conducting from the back and stuff. But yesterday, I got to do the greeter position and stuff at the beginning of at the entrance to the attraction. So that's a lot more guest interaction. So I had a lot of fun doing that, talking to folks and stuff like that. So, and you'd be amazed how many times you get asked, where are the bathrooms? Where are the bathrooms? Where are the bathrooms? So.
They're right across from the bar there, right?
There you go.
Yeah, right across from the bar, you'll see them. But they are hidden, like, the way the design is in all of the Africa area, the whole park, actually, the restrooms don't really scream to you. I understand how you could miss the restrooms in that park.
You got to look for them, and if you come off of Gorilla Falls, if you're heading out the exit of the Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail, there's a sign near the end of that that says restrooms, and it just has arrow straight ahead. It's nowhere near the restroom, so it's about the vaguest sign in the entire world as to where the restrooms actually are. And people looking for the Kilimanjaro safaris, I don't know how they missed that one, but
I guess because it's I think what happens with that is they I get it in a way, because you're walking down that area and that entrance jots off to the left there. So what happens the Rafiki Planet Watch and all where you work, I think all that signage and all draws you to the right there. And most people are right-handed. They tend to drift to the right. If you watch people walk, most people drift to the right. They'll just start walking right. They can't help themselves. They drift right all the time. That's why and I think that's what happens, because that entrance jots off just enough. I think they walk right by it sometimes.
Yeah, quite a few of them do. That and the Lion King show, I understand that one too, because that one is kind of hidden. You have to take that path, you know, on the other side of the bridge to find that. So, and then, of course, what is this whole thing? Is this a train ride? How long does that take? And so, everybody, I don't think half of the people that get on that train even know that you can get off and there's a whole, you know, Rafiki's Planet watch over there to explore and stuff. Yeah, I'm really disappointed when I just see people stay on the train and don't even give it a chance to get off and check things out. So.
Well, they're the same knuckleheads that said it was a half-day park before Pandora came. I mean, exactly. These two extra rides makes it a 24-hour day park now. You know, it's just craziness. All the stuff was already there. It's just now that they're there to see Pandora, they're seeing other things. They're finding the stuff.
Finally, waiting around for their fast passes. Maybe they'll get to explore the park a little more. So,
but I'll be honest with you, all the bathrooms in all the parks, now that I think about it, are not that you have to find them. They're not really stand out. They don't really grab your eye at all.
I mean, most of them are themed to the, you know, area that they're in or around, and I think they want it to kind of blend in. I mean, even look at New Fantasyland, them bathrooms, it, you know, it looks like the facade of the building there, and, you know, it looks like it just blends in with the, you know, the whole atmosphere over there.
But you're right, Dan. The bathrooms are themed, and, like, I've walked by the ones all the time, and I use them the most, but they're the United Kingdom over, you know, by, you know, the Rose and Crown and all.
Mm-hmm.
I'll walk right by them, then you have the other ones up towards in Germany by the toy train and all. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to know they're there, because they don't really, you don't really say, here's the restroom like most places do.
Right, right. And I think even further down, isn't there a set of bathrooms by Morocco there?
Yes.
And, yeah, they're themed like, you know, the stone, the tan stone. And again, unless you're looking at a park map or you're really following the signage to the T, you would walk right by it, or you just think it's a store, a restaurant, or some other building. I mean, and that speaks, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, they don't stick out, they're not out of place, I guess. They just make it part of the natural surrounding of whatever land or wherever they're supposed to be.
Yeah, the ones in New Fantasyland, the whole nine yards, you don't even know they're there until you know they're there. You know, they're,
exactly.
Yeah, so believe it or not, you know, the walking around World Showcase at Epcot, for some bizarre reason, I know where every set of restrooms are on, like, the back of my hand there. I can't imagine why, but yeah sure enough.
Because they got to unload a beer every half hour.
A lot of pit stops.
So, you're not kidding.
So we've seen that you celebrated with a golden monkey. Explain why you were celebrating, John.
I got to take that little goofy red ribbon off my name tag. I passed my assessment and everything, so full-fledged member of the train staff now. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm proud of you. I thought it was going to take you a few more weeks, honestly, so good job, John.
No, actually, I assessed early. I was supposed to go back for one more day of training, and they said, you can get this done tonight if you really want to. I said, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
I just want to get to a normal situation where I have scheduled, you know, and I come in and work and stuff like that. I really didn't want to be stuck with a trainer another day, so I was happy to get it done. So.
Well, you just didn't want anybody to think the old guy is new. You want to act like you've been there forever.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with that thing on, you know, people are looking at, oh, look at the new guy, look at the newbie, yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing, you know.
Especially when you're driving the train and you got that red ribbon on, so, oh my god, we're taking our lives in our hands.
Doesn't instill a whole bunch of confidence in the guest.
Exactly,
you know.
Well, our good buddy Pat is on his way down there. You know, me and him got in major arguments this week, and he kind of hurt my feelings, but it's okay. He picked on me quite a bit this week, and I don't know why. I don't deserve any of it, but I still, even though the way he treated me this week, I still hope he has a wonderful time, him and his family, at the parks.
What's the beef now? What's going on now?
No, I'm just kidding. He likes to – if I say up, he says down on Twitter. You know, he's just in that mood lately. I think you don't have – his football team's off for the summer, so I'm his new punching bag, which I can take it.
Yeah.
He ain't bothering me. And I think Dave moved down there this month. He's going to be down there the whole month. So hopefully, John, you get to see Dave at the Animal Kingdom and Pat. I don't think Pat's going to the Animal Kingdom. I think if he goes, I think it's one day that you're off. But hopefully he pops over and sees you.
Yeah, I'd like to run into both of those guys. Well, we met Dave before, but I haven't met Pat, so I'd like to see them. And I'm really looking forward to some of our friends from our show to get down there. I'd love to see Carmen again and Judith and stuff like that. So hopefully some of them folks make their way down there soon and say Jumbo to me. So
have you, how's it been interacting? So you like interacting with the guests a lot better than I know you like driving and being the conductor and all, but it is nice to interact with all the guests.
Oh yeah. It was a lot of fun. You know, you get to see the, especially some of the kids that are really thrilled about riding the train and have that, there's a couple, you know, you think it's, I know you are a big train fan and you think it's a bit of an out, sometimes it's a bit of an outdated type of transportation, but there's still some children that are really fascinated with it. So, actually a little tidbit that if, somebody's down and they have a kid that's really into the trains, they'll let him sit in the engineer's seat and blow the whistle when we're parked at the station. So
now, John, could a buddy of a cast member get to pull the train and blow the horn and all that good stuff?
I'm pretty sure that if I'm conducting that day, or even if I'm not, I can make a magical moment happen for anybody that really wants to. So
because I don't know who would want to do that, but I might know somebody.
you can get up there and Brenda can take your picture sitting in the conductor seat. So.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. Did you see my new magic band that I got, John?
Yes, I did. Yeah, you got the celebratory train one, so congratulations. And a happy birthday, by the way. What's that, tomorrow?
Tomorrow, man. It's my last day of being in my 40s. It's very sad. Yep.
No wonder why you're in a mood. I'd be in a mood, too.
Doug, it's just the 25th anniversary of your 25th birthday. That's
exactly,
all it is.
Exactly. That's all it is. That's all it is.
You're only as old as you feel, and if you feel good, then you're fine.
Well, then I'm 3, okay? Okay. That's my mentality today. I'm a child. But and my birthday tomorrow is I get to sand drywall for 8 hours. That's going to be my birthday present to myself.
Dedication.
Yeah, I couldn't work it out. Even the guys on the job goes, really, you have to sand tomorrow? And it's like, yeah, it's just the way the cookie crumbled.
Yeah, 50's a big one, though. Yeah, you should have taken the day off and done something nice.
Well, the deal is, Dan, is with you know what I do for a living with the construction and all, and we were going to go to Disney for my 50th, and that's what I wanted. But the way the year worked out, and, you know, with the way a union works, you got to get so many hours in for your health insurance and stuff like that. And we're real busy right now. So it was kind of like, let me get this done. And what we'll do is we'll celebrate Christmas and my 50th. Because they asked, and Brenda's already like preparing for this. They asked if you're celebrating anything special. And I told them, yeah, my 50th birthday. Because it is. We booked the trip for my 50th. So. Right. I told her, then she goes, oh, I can't wait for this, because she knows I'm going to ham it up. I told her, then stay out of my chocolate cake, because I know I'm going to get at least 15 free chocolate cakes on this trip. Because that's what they did for moms. But I wanted to go this week really bad, because it would have been cool to spend it in the parks. But sometimes you just got to, you know, the greater good is for me to work while we have it. And then Christmas time, we usually always slow down. So it's like I could just chill and not be worrying about letting my boss down or letting any of the jobs down. If I go the first week of December, it's not going to hurt anybody's feelings.
Right. It's not like Disney's going to ask you for, you know, let me see your license or something.
No.
If you're celebrating on that trip like you just described, you're going to still get the full benefit of those magical moments that the cast members will make for you during the week that you're there. So it's all good. You're just going to wait a few months. That's all.
Until he walks by me and I go, it is not your birthday, Doug.
Yeah, and I'll be going to guest services saying there's a wise butt on the train. I wouldn't blame you, John. I mean, every once in a while you got to get me back. I mean, I know I'm not that hard on you, but sometimes I can be.
Right. Not at all.
But no, basically what I told him when I booked it is I said my wife booked, this is my birthday present, and we're going in December. So technically I'm not lying because it is my birthday gift.
Right. No, that's I mean, it'd be different if you were, you know, trying to pull a fast one or whatever, but you're doing it in good faith, and it is your birth. You know, you've declared that you're using that as both your Christmas trip and birthday trip, so it's all aboard as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. We're going to have a grand celebration, and like I told the guys, I mean, like with the guys at work right now, there's a lot of guys that are on vacation themselves. It's been taking weeks off, so I don't want to be – the job we're on has to – you know, things have to be done. It's kind of like we can't all take them at the same time, so.
Yep.
Plus, it still gives me something to look forward to. I got my Sixers, I got the Eagles, and then I got the and I got a trip to book. So the summer's going by, and it's one of those deals where I love my summer, but there's also a lot of things to look forward to. So things are fine right now.
Right.
Yeah, and
right.
You got the holidays at Disney World, and it's one of the best times in the world to be there. So.
And hopefully my buddy John comes over and maybe – I know I'm definitely going to see you at the park, but maybe I'll get to see you at Epcot or one of them one day.
I would imagine. So that's probably going to happen.
Yeah, we'll have a good time. So what we're going to do tonight is Dennis came up with the idea of, you know, of all the things, everything. This is basically going to be a bull session at the pub tonight. We had nothing. We didn't plan on anything extravagant. We just wanted to kick around, go back and forth, have a little pub talk about what we are most excited about the 8,000 announcements that came out in the last few weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, with everything coming out, and I know we did our food and wine show, and we had the three of us on the other day, and, you know, generally speaking, we usually have, you know, John or John and Bob or, you know, some combination thereof, and we're topic specific. So I figured, you know, we read all these stories. We did discuss them briefly on the big show, but we just figured we'd go through and just, you know, pick out a couple that, you know, really we're really looking forward to, and then they don't have to be the biggies. I mean, they can be something very small or that's special to you or you perceive to be special. So I guess I'll go first and kind of throw my first one out here and show you guys what I'm talking about. But I mean, like, for me, out of all the stuff that was announced, all the, you know, at the D23 and all that stuff, the thing that I'm most looking forward to when it's all said and done is the Disney Skyliner, the gondola. I just think that's a cool addition to the park. I think that, you know, we've been railing, no pun intended, against lack of transportation or quality transportation with the bus service being inadequate. And, you know, we all enjoy our boats and all our other modes of transportation on Disney property. But, you know, that totally took me totally by surprise. I mean, we talked about it, you know, it'd be cool to have a you know, some sort of gondola system or a Skyliner or like the old at the Magic Kingdom, the one they used to have as the attraction. But I never in a million years thought that they would actually do a gondola system to transport guests, not all over property right now, but at least, you know, a segment of the property. So I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Well, it's twofold for me. Like, I agree with you because, remember, we were talking before this was announced. We brought up that I was arguing at work with somebody that there used to be a Skyway in the Magic Kingdom. Remember we had that discussion?
Yep.
And then It was a few months later they're announcing they're doing it again, which – because why'd you take the one out of the Magic Kingdom then? Put it back in then.
Right.
If you're going to do this one, then add that one to the Magic Kingdom again. Wouldn't you like that one back?
Oh, yeah, I would love that. I mean, you know, I remember us talking about it and saying, oh, they probably took it down because of liability reasons and this and that. And, you know, we played around with it. But, I mean, for a mode of transportation, I mean, and again, I think the way I look at it, too, like, you know, the monorail, it's one of the few places in the world that has a monorail. I mean, there's a few other, I think in Germany there's a place. And, you know, but Disney, it's iconic, the monorail. And, yeah, there's gondolas around and there's ski resorts and, you know, different places around the world, I guess, are a little more common than the monorail. But still, you know, when I go to Disney, it's cool to, you know, use modes of transportation that you don't use in your day in and day out lives. And that's part of the attraction of Disney World for me. So adding this what I think is a unique mode of transportation, or at least, you know, getting to and fro some of the resorts and, you know, what is it, Epcot and the studios, I think it's going to go to.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, even if I wasn't staying at Coronado or Caribbean Beach, I'll definitely go over there now just to get on that thing and get over to one of those parks via the Disney Skyliner, as they're calling it.
Well, the thing is with that too, I hope that maybe it will allow them to put a similar one back into the Magic Kingdom, because that would be awesome. But I think that goes to also show you how much and how expensive it is for them to do the monorail, because
right.
Don't you think if that wasn't extravagant, they'd just be adding more monorails to the whole system? They wouldn't be going through all this with the gondolas. I think it has to be like super duper expensive for them not to be adding more monorail. What's your thoughts on that, guys?
Yeah,
go ahead, John.
I think originally when they built the station at, I've always heard this rumor, when they built the station at Epcot, you know, there's that platform you walk down, and then there's a whole second level that's a long platform, you know, when you're getting off, right?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that long platform there. I had always heard that was supposed to be a whole other station for another connecting monorail line that was going to go to, at one time, I think it was supposed to, I'm not sure what resorts it was going to go to,
yeah.
Probably the Epcot ones or something, but for some reason it ended up getting canceled, and they never did do any more with the monorail.
So. I've heard so many different, like, over the years, stories of where it was supposed to go. I've heard of it supposed to go down, do you know the road, that back road that takes you by Port Orleans Riverside? And I heard it was supposed to go by there and then down to the Springs before, which was down to Pleasure Island and downtown Disney. I heard rumors of that. I've heard rumors of so many different routes that the monorail was supposed to take, and then all roads always led back to the expense of it. How much a part of that track cost to do. Like, as they talked, I forget the number, and I'm not going to state it because I'm too tired tonight, but there was a number that they said if what it cost back when they built it to the dollars that it would cost now was, like, astronomical. Like, it wasn't feasible for them to do it.
Yeah, I mean, about 10 years ago, I heard rumors, and they were using this number, and it was a very simple one. If you look at the monorail from stanchion to stanchion, I don't know what the span is between braces or supports, but from place to place, they said it was about $1 million it would cost to extend the track. And you're right, Doug. I think that when they made the monorail or built the monorail, the intentions were to, you know, put it all over property. But I also think, you know, with the Animal Kingdom coming on board, that's, you know, as far as on Disney property, that's a ways out there. I just think that you're right. It just quickly, when they did the math, the investment just wasn't, you know, the payback just wasn't there. You know, it will be interesting to see what kind of support structure goes up for the gondola system, because I'm going to guess with the weight and the load is going to be a lot less, if, you know, from something suspended in the air like that, that it made it more attractive for Disney to do. And I'll also be interested, too, to see if, you know, once they put in this for, you know, phase one, I'm going to call it, or whatever, if it's successful and, you know, it's profitable by whatever way they want to measure that, getting guests, or maybe it makes the bus service better, whatever. But if it works, quote unquote, then, you know, maybe we'll see it expanded out to the rest of the park. Because it would be cool, kind of like if you're in New York City or any major city for that matter, with all of the whole city being connected by one mode of transportation, like the, you know, like the trolley system or whatever you have in your town, you know, the train system or whatever. I mean, it would be cool that you could get on a train or transfer at a stop, like John was just saying, and go anywhere you want on property. So I'll bet that happens eventually.
Yeah, I think the reason I think too is down. Was like, I think it was Judith that was on the show, and she was talking about, like, with ski resorts and stuff like that, there's so many different chairlifts and gondola lifts throughout the country. I think it's a lot easier to get parts, produce this. I think it's more feasible, to more I don't know. It's cheaper and an easier way to build transportation with the gondolas because more people are doing it. There's more technology on it than what the monorails are. Basically, Disney monorails are Disney monorails. There's no other like them. Where these right. gondola systems, they said they're going to get them from, it's a system that's over in Europe that they're going to copy. Right. So I think it's cheaper for them to do it this way.
I wouldn't be surprised that once they're installed and stuff like that, you also see a sponsorship deal that comes on board at the same time. So that wouldn't surprise me at all if they've already got a sponsor lined up for it.
Yeah, they're more cost-effective is what I wanted
to
say. Yeah,
yeah. So.
I'm excited about it, Dennis. You're right. That was one on my list, and I'll even take it a step further to add to that. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about how – on the top of my list, and I know that it isn't on the top of yours, but to add to the gondolas, I'm mm-hmm. most excited to see where Caribbean Beach and Coronado Springs is going. I hope when they're done that they become so phenomenal and so exciting that people want to go to them that they leave my Riverside and French Quarter to hell alone.
Make it easier to get a room over there, right?
Yeah, because I've been trying now for 4 months to transfer, and I can't do it. No, but all kidding aside, honestly, I really am excited about both of them being done because I want to see I know Bob loves Coronado. We love Coronado, but Coronado is not love like Riverside or French Quarter is. And Caribbean Beach is loved by people, I think, because that's how we stayed there the first time, and I think you did too, Dan, mm-hmm. was it looked a lot – and it's a beautiful resort, and it's nice. I'm not saying it's not. It's if I could only stay there for the rest of my life, I would do it to be at Disney because I'd rather stay there than outside for the most part. But right. the thing of it is like we first went, that's the resorts we chose, right, Dan? You chose there too.
Yeah.
And it looked the best on paper when you watched the videos. I mean, it looked beautiful back when we booked there.
Well, and, especially coming from the Northeast, yes. it's, you know, themed with palm trees and stuff. That's what we're looking for when we want to get away on vacation.
Yeah, because when that first video came in, Riverside looked nice, but if you remember, I still have that vacation video. It was a video at the time. It wasn't even a DVD. It was a video.
Right. And, VHS.
Yeah, VHS. I still have it. If you remember, the way it went across Dixieland, it just flew over and didn't stay there that long.
Right, right.
It more emphasized, it made Caribbean Beach look better until we stayed at both. And like I said, we stayed at Dixieland. It was by the very first place we ever slept on property because mm-hmm. we couldn't get Caribbean Beach. And that goes to show you, at that time, Caribbean Beach was booked. There was not a room available for me and Brenda because we got there a day early on our vacation. And Dixie Landon had rooms left. So that shows you how far these resorts have evolved. And right. I am excited about – I hope that at that Caribbean Beach in Coronado, when this is all said and done, become as enticing, as sought after as what Riverside is and French Quarter.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure that the amenities are going to be improved and, you know, how they divvy them up and, you know, the towers and all that stuff. But, I mean, you know, they're talking about a signature restaurant in these things. So it's going to make it be a place that people are going to want to go. I mean, even if you don't want to stay there, I think that it's going to be attractive to, you know, go over there where now I would have no reason to go there. You know, it doesn't interest me right now. So I agree with you, Doug. I think it's going to give them a much needed boost in popularity, and hopefully it'll disperse the pressure on Port Orleans Riverside right now, because, you know, by all accounts, from what I can tell, it is the most, I mean, we call it our favorite and most popular moderate resort, but I really believe that it is, based on the fact that you keep calling and can't get a room, and everyone I talk to that stays in moderates, and that's pretty much everybody that I know in my Disney life or my friends and family. I mean, they all prefer Port Orleans Riverside too. So it is right now the number one resort for the moderates, and it's hard to get rooms in at times of the year, almost impossible.
Well, I think because too, if you combine those two resorts with the beautiful of the beauty of the Sascola and the Springs, mm-hmm. to me, in my opinion, the grounds and all are as beautiful as any grounds on property. To me, they're the most beautiful, kind of like Pat loves Polly, and you know, yep. And the Animal Kingdom's gorgeous. John, what's your favorite resort? The Animal Kingdom.
We switch back and forth between the Animal Kingdom Lodge, the Polynesian, and we still have an attachment to Port Orleans Riverside too, because that was our first real vacation. So, and not to mention that Port Orleans, both of them, are they're the only moderates that have their own transportation to anything. You know, Coronado and the Caribbean Beach, you can't take a boat anywhere. You can't have your own unique transportation to anything. And Port Orleans, you can take that nice boat ride down the Saskatchewan to Disney Springs. So that's,
I consider
that's just
that
another addition. So.
Yeah, and you're right, John. I consider that a moderate deluxe, in my opinion, the beauty of it. I mean, I just think that, and you're like you're saying, if you compare that to the Animal Kingdom, it has better transportation than Animal Kingdom.
Because
the Animal Kingdom has is the buses.
Yeah. They ought to extend our train right over to the Animal Kingdom. I've been saying that for years, right?
So. And you're 100% right, and I'm all aboard on that, no pun intended. I mean, that is the best idea they could ever do if they had that. Or due to Jeeps. Buy a couple
anything.
More Kilimanjaro Jeeps and Kilimanjaro Safari Jeeps and let them drive back and forth through the back way into the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I think if I, you know, people that stay at Port Orleans Riverside, I really believe once they experience, I mean, forget the rooms and all that, and you're right, the grounds are beautifully manicured and all the magnolias and the flowers and, you know, the water feature there with the river and all that stuff. But, I mean, taking that boat ride, having access to all the, Disney Springs is now. I mean, you know, I'm regretting that we're talking about this because it's almost like Disney could justify jacking the prices up on that resort, right? I mean, because of that, because you're right, some of the deluxes don't have as good of amenities, that boat ride. There's no way.
And the beauty of, too, and you have to add that the French Quarter is gorgeous, too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even though they're the same resort now, but to me, it's too different. And it'll always be too different to me. French Quarter, and it'll be Dixie Landing and French Quarter always to me. But Riverside and French Quarter, but when you're cruising down and you just look at the beauty of the French Quarter as you're going by.
Right,
it's
right.
It's gorgeous. It's like you have two resorts in one. And I, like I said, for me, and I think the reason it is it's a moderate deluxe in my opinion, but the pricing and the beauty of it is the reason why it's so sought after. So I hope to God that Coronado and Caribbean Beach, because every time I call now is there any availability at Riverside or French Quarter? And after they're done, they'll say no. And then I'll say Animal Kingdom or Wilderness Lodge, no, but you can go to Caribbean Beach. No, I didn't ask for that. And then they had the audacity to ask me, well, do you want me to check for regular rates? No. I want to pay double.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a kick in the, you know what?
Yeah, I want to stay there, but I'm not going to pay double when I'm getting in there, you know, my travel agent deal. I work hard for that.
Right.
Doug, you know, like you said, talking about that, I think maybe Port Orleans is actually a pretty good deal for the price you pay, much like that place over at Epcot. Let me think. Joy of Tea. That's a fantastic deal. So, you know, I mean, you know.
I hope thing, when so. Pat walks his butt up there, they say, oh, the lucky combo's $16.99. And I hope they take away half the meal. What they should do is charge him the same and then take away one of the combos. You only get lucky. You don't get the combo. That's fair, right? Kind of like I shouldn't be complaining about having to have to leave the park 3 hours early.
Yeah, that equates, I think.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's fair.
Now, is he driving down, Doug, or
no,
are they flying
down? No, he flies
down. Oh, okay. They left today? Literally today?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he checks in today. Yeah, he checks in today. He said he's going to toast me tomorrow at the parks. And I'm hoping that he don't hear this before he does, because I think I'm going to get toasted with I'm going to be number one.
Uh-oh. Well, hopefully we'll have to follow his Twitter feed. Hopefully he'll be tweeting some pictures out soon if he's there.
Yeah, so Dave was at Animal Kingdom already today with his father, so he's down there already. So.
Yeah, well, Hopefully he'll go up there. They'll say 1098, but you only get one egg roll.
So, John, what were you most excited about out of all this hoopla that come out at D23?
Well, it's not new, but they released a model, of course, Star Wars Land. I'm totally, totally excited to the anticipation of that, and I'm hoping that it's as totally
John,
immersive.
John, you're hoping?
I'm hoping that it's as immersive as Harry Potter Land over at Universal. I mean, Pandora is cool, but I don't think it totally immerses you in the environment as much as I'm hoping Star Wars Land is. So, and I'm really looking forward to seeing if they're going to have some kind of a reveal, you know, where you come around the corner and there's something in front of you that you really can't see from outside the area, that type of thing. So, both attractions look totally interesting, and I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the food, and are they going to have blue milk, and are we going to see the Mos Eisley Cantina and all that type, or a version of the Mos Eisley Cantina, because it's not going to be Tatooine at all. So
now they're calling this the Galaxy's Edge. Is that like the name of Star Wars Land? We're calling it Star Wars Land, but Galaxy's Edge is the official name of the land. I'm taking that it is.
Yeah, they're going to call it that because of super fanboys. I'm a fanboy, but I'm not super fanboy.
You're
but,
a fan old it, man, not a fanboy.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, you're the 50-year-old, so
but, a couple more hours.
But I look 42. Know what they're gonna say when I walk into the? I actually look 32. Well, when I walk in with this new magic band with the train on me, they're gonna say, "Who is that young honk with that awesome magic band on?" I can hear it already. They're gonna want me to do some advertising for the parks. I can see it coming in the fall, in the winter. But finish up, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're gonna call it Galaxy's Edge because, like I was saying, if they themed it after Tatooine, or if they themed it off after Endor or one of the other planets, then there would have elements of other planets on that planet, and of course people would have a fit, and that doesn't fit there, and why are there Ewoks on Tatooine, and why are there Jawas on Endor, and da-da-da-da-da. So if they call it Galaxy's Edge, a purely made-up planet or a purely made-up place, then they can have elements from all the different Star Wars movies, and nobody can disprove that they couldn't actually exist in that era. So
makes sense. No, it makes good sense, actually.
Yeah, John said something that makes sense. So we're ahead tonight. We're ahead of the game, buddy. See, all this work at the Animal Kingdom has actually made you smarter.
Well, it's decreased my beer consumption by about...
There you go.
3/4, so...
Yeah.
I think I managed to have 2 beers on Saturday night, which is just that's a rare, rare thing. So.
And one was from our friends at Victory Beer. You had a Golden Monkey, buddy.
Yes, I had a Gold Monkey at Animal Kingdom before I headed home that night to celebrate my assessment passing. So yeah, and it was very good, too, let me tell you. So.
And I'm actually having a Victory Hellas right now to celebrate Pub Talk.
All right.
I know Dennis has his, what is it?
I have a mixed berry Powerade Zero going.
And John, you're not drinking at all tonight, are you?
I got a Goose Island IPA. Yes, I am.
So, John, I will admit, I am geeking out about Star Wars Land myself as far as I can't wait to see what it looks like. Not that I'm the Star Wars geek, but I'm geeking out about all the photos and all the models and everything else. That land looks like it's going to be ridiculous, and I am very excited about it myself. But nothing looks better than Slinky Dog.
Did you see they completed it? They completed the track today?
Oh, yes, I did. I did the,
yes.
I did the happy dance in the house when I seen the track done.
No pun intended.
Go ahead, Doug. No, I'm sorry. Then all I was going to say is they're going to say, who's this idiot in December peeking over the fence at the Slinky Dog track? So go ahead.
Right.
I'm sorry, buddy.
No, I was just going to say it literally is on the fast track because it seemed like it was a longer time away. And you remember when we thought they were both going to open at the same time, or they led us to believe that, or we concluded that. I don't know which of the three versions it was, but now all of a sudden it's like next summer it's going to be open, and it just doesn't seem like it's been long enough in construction to me anyways. It seems like it came quick.
It's weird. Like, it Toy Story Land's going to open before Star Wars Land, the way it's looking, isn't it?
What are you hearing?
What are you reading, John? You feel the same way?
Yeah, Toy Story Land is going to be open an entire year, at least, I think, before Star Wars Land. And I think it's because as cool as Toy Story Land is going to be,
it's more open.
Yeah.
There's not as much stuff going on.
I don't think there's a lot of high-tech attractions there. You know, the Slinky Dog coasters is going to be a really cool coaster, but it's a coaster. You know, there's none of the – they're not doing any of the screens, and they're not doing – any 3D effects and all that type of stuff. And Star Wars Land, I think, is going to be, or Galaxy's Edge is going to be a lot more high-tech, technological type of stuff. So, yeah, I think Toy Story is just going to be easier to get done with the more just kind of fun rides, you know what I mean? So,
as far as the contractor side of me, I agree, but I kind of disagree with you. I understand what you're trying to say, but I think the hardest part about Star Wars Land has nothing to do with the rides. I think the hardest part of the Star Wars Land has to do with the whole facade, like the mountains and the whole area. It seems like it's going to be a whole city being built, like a Star Wars city. And Toy Story is going to be, the theme of it is more of Andy's backyard.
Backyard, yeah.
So it's more of an open air area. So I think the rides will probably take the same amount of time to build. It's kind of like Everest. The track didn't take long. It was the whole damn mountain that took forever.
Right. Yeah, and I think we saw that with Pandora. It seemed like forever they were working on that, and I think a large part of it was, you know, that big rock, yeah, the mountains and all the detail work. And I think you're right, Doug, that in Star Wars there's a lot, you know, like John spoke to, there's a lot of detail, there's a lot of background, and they want to make it look as realistic as possible. So that's going to take the time, whereas in Toy Story Land it's going to be a lot of green space and grass, and you know, it's supposed to
mimic outside.
Exactly. So that's already there. I mean, yes, it's got to be manicured and, you know, it's still going to take some work, but it's a different kind of work. Whereas it's probably a lot of modeling and troweling, rocks and stuff like that. And like you said, facades, sides of buildings and spaceships and all that stuff. So, I mean, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me one is a little less difficult than the other, let's just say.
Yeah, because the thing is, even with the coaster, like the track for whatever they're making for the ride to Star Wars Land, I'm sure they're fine, but the buildings are what the design of the buildings takes longer than what the ride is. But the thing with Slinky Dog is, it's supposed to be he's running through the backyard. So there's nothing around it. It's just a track running around the entire outside. It's kind of like it's in a backyard. So there's not many buildings that they seem to be building in that compared to – I mean, Star Wars Land, if you look at the prints, it looks like every square inch is a building or a rock or something. It's
city,
like you're walking in a city. So, and I do agree with you also, John. Star Wars Land reminds me a lot of Harry Potter Land as far as all the – everything that's being built with it. Where again, Toy Story Land is basically the last scene in Toy Story 4. And instead of being Andy's backyard, it's that little girl's backyard with all the toys outside. So they're basically going to put a fence around it, and the toys are playing in the yard.
All right, Dennis, here's my plan. You see, right now I'm working on one of Doug's favorite attractions in all the parks, the wildlife train. So as soon as Toy Story Land is ready to open, I'm going to try to transfer over there, and then I'll get the Slinky Dog coaster and really get him all twerked at me. So how about that?
Oh, my God. Then Pat will be saying again, I so want to be you, John. John, I am so jealous of you, Johnny. I want to be you, man.
That's funny.
I'm happy as heck for you, John. I'm just glad. All I need to do is blow the whistle and sit there, and I'll feel like and I'll be good. I'll no longer be jealous, John.
Okay, all right, we can make that happen. So
what else are you looking forward to, Dan?
Well, my second one is let's see here, the Baseline Tap House at the Hollywood Studios. And again, maybe this speaks more to my age that I'm not picking attractions, but I don't know. I just think when we were reading that the other day on the show, that just seems like an awesome add to, well, actually, it'd be awesome anywhere on property, but particularly in the studios. I think that, you know, like I was saying on the show Sunday, you know, with all those people that are going to be just, you know, cramming into Hollywood Studios, you've got to have places to put these people, feed them, and places to just go and take a load off for a while and maybe have a beer or a wine and just chill. So I think it was it was smart on their part to have the foresight to build something like this. And, you know, from what we saw in the artist rendering, it looks like a pretty substantial structure, too. So I'm very, very excited for this place to open up and a place in within the studios to just kick back and chill.
Yeah, I'm excited myself. I'm thinking also that it's going to lead to other things. I'm hoping myself that that whole Streets of America becomes something. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like a whole mini entertainment district, something like the Springs, but a small version of it.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, because you're right. With these big things, and it even said, you know, the disclaimer, you know, these are, you know, they release these things, but there's going to be more detail, and I think there'll be more tag-along things that actually go with some of these attractions, whether they be, you know, maybe not full-blown restaurants. We would have heard about that. But there'll be, you know, certainly retail and different shops maybe and other support-type things that will go along with the, you know, new attractions or new restaurants and new buildings for that matter.
Well, it's called Grand Avenue Construction, so I don't think they're just going to have one thing on a whole Grand Avenue.
Right, right. Yeah, that suggests that there's going to be, you know, multiple structures, which I could see.
No. And, John, what else are you looking forward to? Star Wars
probably,
Land again?
Yeah, that again. probably the staying with my sci-fi theme. How about the Guardians of the Galaxy attraction? I know you guys are going to miss Ellen's interview adventure, but I'm really looking forward to seeing Guardians of the Galaxy finally get a Marvel presence in our Walt Disney World parks. So I'm really excited to see that, and I love the movies, so it's be great to see them. I have no idea of what kind of attraction they're going to build there, though, because obviously it's not going to be the Tower of Terror thing. So it'd be interesting to see what they do there. So,
well, before we go there, I don't think you ever weighed in on it. Now, as far as the amount of stuff and the technology of the ride and all the content in the ride, what do you think has more of a show, Land or the Ellen ride?
I like... Personally, I would ride Living with the Land because I did tell you a little bit. I mean, I'm more interested in agriculture than I am with energy. But I think as far as the dinosaur portion of the Ellen's Energy Adventure, I always thought that part was pretty really cool. And the animatronics in that are a lot better than the animatronics that are still in Living with the Land. So I think that both of them have certain aspects that are more entertaining. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and I'll be like Pat. I'll keep trying to steer you like he does on his show to make the other three agree with him. Like he just kept beating them two over the head with a club until they agree with him. Okay, but my point I'm trying to make is, okay, John, and I'll say this, and me, you, and Dennis all love Living with the Land, and that's the point I've always wanted to make. I am attached to it because of sentimental value. But today, if I went there with a clean slate, never did either of these rides before, don't give a crap about Disney, I'm not addicted yet, and I went on Living with the Land and went on Ellen's Universe of Energy, and you can honestly tell me that Living with the Land is a better ride, you're nuts. You understand what I'm saying, John? I think the love of it means more. The way it was when we first went on it with the skippers and everything else, and it was working, like people in there, it was vibrant, and there was twice as much to do on that ride, I get it. And that's why we're in love with it, because we've been doing it for so long. But I think just riding through it, the Ellen ride, the cars, everything else, the technology, there's so much more to that than seeing a damn pumpkin growing as a Mickey head. I mean, you could see the thing is shaped. What other shape could it have? As it's growing, it's forced to grow that way. It ain't no major model Marvel. It's forced to grow that way. Do you get what I'm saying with that, don't you, John?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, there's definitely, there's without a doubt, there's more technology involved in the Ellen's Energy Adventure. That's for sure. But again, I mean, if you did have a clean slate, I think it'd just be more, I think you would, both attractions have certain things that lend themselves to people, but it would be more, what are you more interested in? I think you would enjoy it more. The one thing I wondered about Living with the Land, you know, that section after the animatronics and then before you actually get into the greenhouses, there's that long dark tunnel with just screens. I always wondered if they were supposed to do more with that, because there's such an empty space there, you know? It's just some screens. So.
Dude, before you get into the agriculture area, it's like a preschooler did it. I mean, I love it because I love it, and that's the point. Like, just because you... I know I'm addicted to it. I know I'm not addicted to it, but I like it. I have an affection for it because it's one of the first things me and Brenda did, and I remember how great it was. But seriously, compared to all the other things in the park, until you get to the greenhouse, is that like preschool compared to everything else in the park?
Yeah, it's a little disappointing. And with the skippers, it was less so because you were interacting with them, and it kind of – they made it seem more exciting than it was. And it isn't meant to be a thrill ride or exciting. I don't mean it in that way. But you have to admit, the audio animatronics are, you know, kind of long in the tooth, and I don't think they're of quality as some of the other ones across property. I mean, even though Ellen is horrendous in her attraction, it looks like a melting wax lady or something.
That
there.
Is not a very good one,
yeah.
Is it?
but even so, I mean, you said it earlier, John. I mean, the dinosaurs, yeah, you can't compare it to Dinosaur, the attraction. Now, you know, that's not fair, but if you give it credit for what it was, for when it was built, and what it's trying to portray, it's pretty cool. I mean, it was probably one of the few places in the country, or the world for that matter, where you could go and see a full-size, you know, brontosaurus or whatever that big ones are that are in there, and, you know, it's pretty cool. Yeah, if you've seen it 50 times, you know, I get that. I really do. But if you look at the attraction as a whole, it's got a comedic value to it at the beginning with the Jeopardy stuff. I mean, Ellen, as you've pointed out, Doug, is very popular. She's got a following. I mean, it's got a lot of things going for it that I think that, you know, just because we've seen it 50 times doesn't mean that everybody else has. And I think you're right, Doug. If you took a person off the street that doesn't care about Disney, that just is neutral, I got to believe that Ellen would win, you know, 8 out of 10 votes or something like that. I believe that to be true.
But that's the wording, and thank you. And that's the way I'm trying to put it. It isn't about what our affection is for it because, yeah, honestly, I like land as much. But if you watch the first section of Living with the Land, it's trees and a little water running down a hill. I mean, I see that in my local woods.
Right. Yeah. And it's meant to be that edutainment thing that, you know, Epcot was actually built for. And they're trying to teach you something. And I get that. It's not meant to be a you know, thrill or make you laugh type thing. It's supposed to, you know, really educate you on agriculture. And, you know, if you look at it through that lens, it does the job, I guess. And you know, but, you know, where Ellen is, you know, yes, there's an educational element to it with the energy, but it's also much more entertaining, I think, for, you know, like I said, with the Jeopardy thing, and it's kind of, it's corny now, but it is funny if you, you know, actually sit there and watch the pre-show, and then, you know, at the end, and, you know, Bill Nye the Science Guy, I mean, you know, how cool is that?
But don't you think all they could
have
least...
all I'm that sorry, having Jeff. Been said, I'm really more excited to see Guardians of the Galaxy in there. So
yeah.
Right. But like, don't you guys think, like, with the three buffaloes, the two buffaloes and the baby, they could have made one of them work, move, do something?
At least the tail switch once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. And I know I digress, and that's what we do here at the pub. We rehash and rehash and trash, flip it over, re-talk about it, and beat it to death. But the end of the day, John, our favorite saying, yes, I'm looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think Living with the Land needs a major overhaul too. I'm glad Ellen's gone. I'm going to miss it, but I am excited about Guardians of the Galaxy. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with the cool dude. What's his name again?
Drax?
Yes. I'm looking forward to see what a wise butt he's going to be on that ride, aren't you?
Which guy are you talking about? Star-Lord or
the little fox guy. What's his
name? Oh, Rocket Raccoon.
The raccoon. Not the fox, the raccoon. I'm looking forward to see what they do with him. Because there's so many opportunities for him to be a wise butt.
Well, and just look at it this way, Doug. You'll be 55 by the time the Guardians of the Galaxy comes out.
Thanks, Dennis.
But I'll never be older than you, Dan.
This is true. This is true. I'll still be a little further up the road than you.
What will you be, 58 or 60?
Oh, boy.
You'll be 60.
I'll be pushing 60. That's scary.
Yeah, you'll be the big 6-0, brother.
Yeah. Now, let's move on. I shouldn't have brought that.
Yeah. Hey, you brought it up. So.
You brought a knife to a gunfight, Dan.
Yep.
But anyway, one of the things I am most excited for because of my beautiful bride is I cannot wait for Ratatouille to come to France because it'll actually
I was going to say that one, but I thought I'd let you have it because I know how much your wife loves the movie.
You're too kind to me. And it'll actually give me a reason to hang out in the France Pavilion. I mean, we'll go back to the bakery once in a while, and I know our friends from the Happiest Vlog on Earth love the France Pavilion. But the France Pavilion is always a pavilion that I go over the bridge and go left. I don't really hang out there too often.
Unless the mime is out.
Yeah, exactly. And
stuff,
it reminds
me
of my dad when I pushed him up next to him. Dude, that was one of the best things that I ever did. I said, Dad, I got to grab something. I backed his – the mime was – not the mime, the statue.
Yeah.
The statue was this there. And I even think he or she knew what I was doing because I pushed the wheelchair up there and I spun it around and backed it right underneath of it. And I said, Dad, I got to go grab something. And I left him there and all of a sudden the statue grabbed him. Oh, my goodness. I'll never forget that. So – but – I am really looking forward to Ratatouille coming to the France Pavilion. I am excited. That's one of the rides I'm most excited about, period. And out of everything coming, that's one of the thing I'm most excited about just because of Brenda. I know she'll love it because she loves Ratatouille.
Yeah, and it's a perfect match, as you've been saying for a couple of years now. I mean, you know, there couldn't have been a movie made that would better fit the France Pavilion at Epcot. And, you know, and if you're a believer, which I know you are,
it
that
should
you'd
have been
like
there
to
before
see...
Frozen.
Yeah, right. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A much better
fit. Yes,
that
fit, one actually took place in Paris, France. So not a made up part of Europe. So.
Right. But I mean, I do agree. If they're going to add, you know, attractions to World Showcase, which they obviously are with the announcement of this, this is the way to do it. You know, and it probably won't come across a better fit for an attraction from a Disney movie that would fit into World Showcase than, you know, France and Ratatouille. I mean, you know, maybe Mulan and would work or, you know, but what kind of attraction? See, with the topic being food in the movie makes it even better.
Absolutely.
You know, it could have just been a movie that was made in France and it tied in that way, but it has a double tie-in with the culinary aspect as well. So it's you know, it fits like a glove. I mean, it's like it should have been there years ago is exactly right.
Now, to take it a step further, did they change the name of the restaurant from the restaurant in the movie, one of the restaurants?
Yeah, good point. What was the chef's name? Gaston?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Gaston. What if they change it to Gaston's?
Yeah, I could see that happening.
What about you, Johnny? What do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen at all. That's not a bad idea at all. So, and then actually make Ratatouille a signature dish on the menu. So,
absolutely. Ooh. Like I could see them keeping Monsieur Paul's, but maybe you turn the regular French restaurant into that, the one, you know, with all the glass there and all.
The Chefs de France, yeah.
Chefs de France. Yeah, I call
it the French
restaurant, you know.
I'm just thinking back, Doug. Didn't we hear that they're changing the name of Monsignor Paul? Didn't we remember you were talking about that? And you said that Scott and Jen are going to be upset about that. I think they are changing the name of that restaurant.
I think it's one of them, but I forget that. It's been a while since we talked about that. But because all I know is Le Chef de France is where they had Ratatouille come out underneath the warming plate. But I could honestly see them changing the name into that.
Yeah, it just makes so much sense. I mean, you know, no, it doesn't really matter. But if they want to go for the full-blown, you know, it'll just be, you know, instead of the France Pavilion, it's just going to be called Ratatouille Land or something. You know, it's just going to be all, you know, but parts of the movie, and it'll be awesome.
Well, I think it's awesome because that's the thing that my wife loves the most about that movie. is the views and the drawings of France, like the whole background. She just loves. She likes it when they show the outside as much as they're showing Ratatouille and the whole, the cooking and everything else. She just loves the beauty of that movie because of all the views and the different areas that they show of France. So I can't believe it took this long. I can't believe they opened up Ratatouille over there and they didn't open it up here at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, who knows why, but, you know, I'm thankful they did it finally. They did the right thing in this case.
Yeah, and now all they knew, now all they need to do is now make a Moana ride, and my wife will be totally happy because that's her new favorite. Have you seen that yet, John?
Golly, do you even listen to me when I come on the show with you guys? I'm wondering.
Not
sometimes.
Really. I'll be honest with you, John. No, I don't.
You don't remember the whole thing? I rushed home from work because me and the wife had DVC special tickets to go see Moana pre-release at the Polynesian.
Oh, that is right. I am so sorry that you did. Okay. But that's, right. Dude, that's been like 100 shows ago. My brain's dead, man. But yeah. It was a good movie, wasn't it?
We actually got to see it on the beach at Polynesian.
Yeah, that's right. You had to turn your phone in and all that stuff.
Yeah. See, now you remember. So. It was awesome. So.
It was that's probably my wife's favorite princess now. She'll never take over Pocahontas for me, but she's pretty close. That was a good movie. I enjoyed it. The Rock was funny.
Yeah, yeah, he was. It was pretty funny. Actually, the song he sings in there is my ringtone because my wife is always asking me for something, so I'm always saying, you're welcome. Or she's saying thank you to me, so I'm going, you're welcome. So that's my ringtone when she calls me. You're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome. So.
The funniest ringtone I ever heard for a wife was, and he ended up getting in trouble because when he came to the pool hall, I called his phone so he could see it. I told her, I said, do me a favor, call his number while you're here. He would always be out, or turn his ringer off when he went home. He had King Kong scream whenever she would call. And we'd be in the pool hall, and you hear, like the King Kong growl and scream.
Yeah,
We'd all crack up. He goes, it's the wife. So, and he would go home and he'd put it on mute. So she was at the pool hall. We were shooting in the championships, and I was actually shooting him in one of the rounds. So I figured I'd throw him off his game. I said, I went over to his wife. I said, call his phone. And I knew the ringer was on, and she called his phone, and that King Kong went off, and she gave him what for? He's looking at me like, you son of a gun. And I beat him too.
That's a good one.
But yeah, he had King Kong as his ringer. It's hysterical. So give us another thing, Dan, you're looking forward to. We'll each give one more.
All right. Yeah, probably for me, I don't know. Believe it or not, probably the Tron coaster in Magic Kingdom. Nothing to do with the movie. I think I told you guys. I saw the first one, and it was some years after it came out. The theming, not so much, but I think it looks cool in the artist rendering. It's so futuristic, and you know, the way it intertwines with the Speedway. I just think that's going to be an awesome add to the Magic Kingdom and Tomorrowland, and it's going to be pretty cool. So you know, I don't know how much I'll be able to ride it. I will ride it at least once to do it and experience it, but depending on how rough or not that it is will determine if I ride it from that point forward. But I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am myself. I'm looking forward to it. I will try it, and again, I am not into Tron. I never even liked the Tron video games. I thought that sucked. But
yep.
I'm looking forward to what they're going to do with it, and I'm looking forward to what Tomorrowland's going to look like when it's done. I mean, because that building looks awesome. And the train going through it and the whole nine yards, I'm excited to see how it brings Tomorrowland totally together. And I'm looking forward to trying to ride, but I don't think it's going to end up being this old man's favorite.
No, I don't. Coasters in general for me are not really my thing. But Disney, I mean, they tend to keep them on the tamer side of, you know, the thrill rides. Even for thrill coasters or whatever, they're tamer than some of the others, like at Busch Gardens and certainly Universal. Wouldn't you say, John, generally speaking?
other than Rock and Roller Coaster, I mean, Rock and Roller Coaster with that accelerated start, that catapult launch, that's. Mm-hmm. But yeah, even that one, the Hulk is more intense than that one. But for the most part, most of the coasters at Disney are they really count more on their theming and the whole show instead of
just the thrill.
The thrill factor. Yeah,
right.
So. See, I think that out of all of them, the most thrilling of them all is when you hit 65 with a Test Track going around that last bend before the doors when it comes to the brakes. I think that even though I know it's going to stop, until it stops, I'm not sure it's going to.
Right, right.
Am I That's wrong? True. And then also when you leave to go through the doors.
Are the doors going to open?
Yes, every time when you go through those doors and when you stop at the end of that, when it's hitting the brakes and it's doing that brake check to slow you the heck down. I think that's more scary than any of the other, more thrilling, not scary, but more, keeps you on the edge of your seat, just hoping that both those doors work. Because what happens if they don't?
I'll tell you a quick story about the theming of Disney roller coasters. I grew up, obviously you guys knew, I grew up here and Disney was always my local park and stuff. And I was just accustomed to the theming on attractions and stuff. And by the time I was 18 or 19, I really wanted to ride some roller coasters. So me and a buddy, for my first real vacation by ourselves, we drove up to Atlanta and went to Six Flags. And I was real excited to ride the Batman ride. And I got there, and the whole theming of the Batman ride at Six Flags in Atlanta was a Batman car in the middle of the roller coaster. And that was it. And I looked at it, and I went, what is this about? So that led me to the conclusion that they don't care a whole lot about the theming at other those type of parks. So yeah, I was horribly disappointed after spending my entire life at Walt Disney World to go to Six Flags. So
now stay at Disney, John. Do yourself a favor.
yeah. Well,
what else you looking forward to, Johnny?
I don't know if we're going to be able to ever afford the points or to actually use the points to stay there, but the DVC Tower. That's going to be built over there by Caribbean Beach. That whole idea. What's the Riviera, right?
Yeah, the Riviera Resort. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it looks gorgeous, but I think it's probably going to be out of our. I hope they're going to have some studios and maybe we can get in there for 17, 18 points a night or something like that, but probably not. But regardless, it looks great. So.
You stayed at the Grand Floridian in a nice, fluffy bathrobe. So if you could stay there, I'm sure you can afford this place.
I don't know. I mean, it all depends if they're all, super one bedrooms and stuff like that. We've never stayed in a one bedroom. We've always just stayed in studios.
Really?
So yeah. So
I would think they'd have to have a studio, though. I mean, what if a single person buys or something? They got to stay in a one bedroom. I mean, I would think they'll have studios.
Yeah, they'll have studios. They'll definitely have studios. I mean, because we talked about this before. They're the most popular.
Yeah.
They'd be stupid not to, because most people, they're the most sought after rooms.
Yeah. Most people like me, they want to get the most bang for the buck. So, I mean, if it means, I get to stay three nights instead of, if I stay three nights in a studio or two nights in a one bedroom, well, I'm taking the three nights. So.
Plus, John, they do that lock-off. You know how they sometimes you don't get the dedicated studio. You get the lock-off that it's part of one of the other rooms, but you lock the door. You ever have one of those?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So they could still, even if they don't technically have studios, they could still have studios.
Yeah.
Yeah, because most people, especially families under four and under, I'm just speaking for what I book for and for friends and family and stuff. Who wants to cook on vacation for the most part? I mean, Dan, you guys, both of you, how often do you guys cook in your hotel on vacation?
Since we've owned DVC, the only thing we've cooked is we've done breakfast a couple of times. We've gone to the store and got the fixings to do a big breakfast, like on a Sunday morning or something, but not dinner or anything like that.
And if it's just you and Sue, you're getting a studio 99% of the time.
Oh,
you would never get a one-bedroom. Why are you going to waste your points?
Yeah, I wouldn't just do it to do it. The only way I would do it is if for some reason, and this isn't an issue because I'm always borrowing, if for some reason I was going to lose my points, they were going to run out and I had to expend them or lose them, I would probably splurge on, you know, if I had enough to get a one or two bedroom, I would do it then. But just to book it, just to stay in one, I don't think I would.
Yeah, Dennis, speaking of that, I'd borrowed so many points, and then I traded them. I changed my vacations and everything else, so I ended up with, I think, 15 extra points that I had to use by the end of August. So I've got one night stay next Sunday night at Boardwalk. So I'm gonna work on the train. I'm gonna go over to Epcot for a couple hours and sleep at the Boardwalk, and then get up and go back to the train. So,
That's cool. You won't have that hour and a half ride home.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah, and maybe you just go to Big River Brewing Company or something like that and have a nice meal.
I'll probably walk around Epcot and just do our snack crawl, you know, all the way around there. So.
Yeah, get your mac and cheese or whatever, the noodle gratin at Germany.
There you go. And maybe a lucky combo.
There you go. You know. Yeah, by then, though, you only have one egg roll.
All right, good.
Speaking of things that make our friends of the show mad, our buddy Bob, what's your thought? Me and Dennis are right on this, and we'll see if you are too. What's your thoughts on Mission Space redoing itself? What's your thoughts on that?
I'm interested to see that because the Mars one was always kind of it seems outdated. So if they do I guess it's going to be a tour around the Earth. I don't think it's going to be like a Soarin' thing. I think it maybe you'll see the continents from space and that type of stuff. So I'm interested in see that, and it'll give Lisa a chance because she can't ride the spinny side at all. So it'll definitely give her another chance to ride or to experience it. I don't know about riding, but experience it at least.
Now,
so, yeah, it'll be interesting.
But don't you think it's a good idea to – if it takes more gas, don't you think it's a good deal? Because the other way was not working.
No. Yeah, it's certainly a good idea to allow it to – try to build some. I don't know what they're going to have to do to that attraction to really build the interest in it, because like we've said a million times, it's just never lived up to the potential that they thought that attraction had. They spent a fortune on that, and it's never been the people eater that they wanted it to be. So anything they can do to try to draw more people over there is a good idea. So
thank you. That's the point me and Dennis was trying to make. If more people go on, it frees up other things. I think the problem that we've had for the last so many years with Test Track and Soarin', I mean, even though it's not like getting fast passes for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or anything at Pandora, it still shouldn't be that bad to be able to go on Test Track or Soarin'. And I think because of how bad Mission Space missed the mark, it's really hurt the front of the park to get on those rides.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's unbalanced. Yeah. I mean, everybody, you know, coming in the front gate of Epcot is banging a right. You don't see many people taking that left to go up. I mean, yeah, they take the left to go to Test Track, but certainly not Mission Space, that's for sure.
And you know darn sight well, when they built that, they were thinking that was going to be the centerpiece of the park. They thought that was going to be the number one e-ticket in that park. Do you disagree?
Absolutely.
Dan, John, what do you think?
No, they thought that was going to be the big time. I mean, obviously they spent, like we said, they spent a fortune building it and stuff. And I mean, I think that if it got a bad reputation coming right out of the parks or right out of the chocks, because I guess people were getting sick on it, you know, the first day they opened the thing. So, and I think its reputation certainly hasn't helped it, you know.
As soon as the barf bags went in, that ride came down. I mean, it's just that simple.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody telling me I need a barf bag, there's a problem. But
it doesn't make you feel warm and fuzzy when you get on an attraction and there's barf bags. No, you're
and
right.
I'll tell you this right now. If I had the choice between Living with the Land, Ellen's Universe of Energy, or Mission Space going down for Guardians of the Galaxy, I'd pick Mission Space 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, I would do that too. Because it's useless to me the way it is now. That's the way I look at it.
Because I guarantee more people ride Living with the Land and Alan's Universe of Energy in a day than what ride Mission Space, from what I could see.
I don't doubt it at all.
No. So I'm glad you're on our side, John, with that. Even though all Bob right, will write the article to make me look like an idiot. And I love Bob, and I know he wrote it for himself, and I'm not picking on him. But when he expressed what my thoughts were, it wasn't what the article read. I knew I was going to be wrong. I knew everybody would pick the land. But if you didn't have an unbiased opinion, you wouldn't pick that. It's just that. And John, you can't disagree with that. Yes, you can. Apparently,
you're right. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. So
the last thing I will say, the thing I'm most excited about is, and it's like a big thing, like it's a big area. I'm most excited about the springs being done. No, yeah, seriously, I want the NBA building to be done. I'm glad that, I mean, we've been hearing forever that Disney Quest is coming down. Right. I'm looking forward to having the Coke there. And the final restaurants, all the pieces being done so we could just enjoy it all. Because every time you turn around, something's being moved or shaked. I want to see the springs done. And the reason I'm saying I want to see it done is because I want it to become comfortable there. Like, we could settle into it and have our favorites. And does that make sense? With it constantly changing it and being new all the time, you can't settle into it. It can't become home yet.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like, I know what you mean. It's like you pick up the new car and it's still got the mats in it, and you haven't really broken in yet. And there's always something that down there, like I think they're still doing another parking garage, and there's still Lanuber's going to be closing, or it did close, and they're going to be putting a new show in there. And you already mentioned the Disney Quest, and you're right. I just wanted, we need a couple of trips with no construction, no nothing, and kind of really get to go in every nook and cranny and make it our own. And we haven't been able to do that yet, because every time you go, they're routing you a different way, or this section's closed, or you can't get over here. So I agree with that, Doug. It'll be nice to just kind of hang your hat somewhere and enjoy it.
Yeah,
I'm still getting lost there. So, yeah. You know, there's certain parts you walk through and you're like, how do I get back over to the boathouse or Jock Lindsey's? Holy cow, where am I? So,
yeah, last time I was there, I was at that new bus stop, and I was sitting there and looking around, and the sight lines that I had from the bench that I was sitting at, it was like I wasn't even in Disney World. It was like I was in somewhere else, you know, because everything in my eyesight was a new view or something new or a new road or whatever. It was just amazing, nice and beautiful, but, you know, I certainly didn't feel like I was at downtown Disney, that's for sure.
and you're right, guys, and that's the point I'm making. It's kind of like, I want it to be the same for a couple trips and make it like an old comfortable shoe. You know what I'm saying? To where you have your favorites. Like, when I get down there now, I feel like I'm running around like a chick with my head off because I want to see it all.
Right,
I want to have seen it all, and I want to be able to just relax into it. That's the point I'm trying to make. I just want to be able to go there and enjoy it and have my favorite spots and not be worrying about trying 75 places for snacks and dinner. And you know what I mean? I just want to be able to fit in there. I mean, just ease on in there and enjoy myself. And I know it sounds stupid, but that's what I feel. I want to complete.
Yeah. No, sounds that's good. A great, great perspective. I agree.
You know, you guys will both. Well, next time I go there, me and Brenda will be running around trying to see it all. And
you won't.
You know, and I'm the one that always says, slow down, look around, and enjoy the view. And I got to brainwash myself that if I don't see it all, it's okay. Because when you start getting in that mode, then it was like the first year we went. We missed half the stuff that we didn't even know was there because we were running like crazy. And that's how I feel right now. Every trip that we're taking lately, you're trying to see everything and you don't see anything, if that makes sense.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, and it is just amazing. We did talk about this, you know, before this big boom. Well, it was right after they said we're done and there'll be no more construction that all this construction boom started, right?
Yeah.
It's been nonstop since before New Fantasyland, and it's just been one thing after another. And I agree. I mean, I would love it, you know, as much as I like the new stuff, and I do, and I understand that they have to do it. They have to invest in the park so that they're relevant in the future, and I get all that, but I would love to just go down there and just have it, just everything be static, and this is the way it is, and when you come back in a year, this is the way it'll be. But unfortunately, that isn't going to be the case for many, many years.
Well, that's the reason why I picked the Springs, because it's the closest to being done. So I want it done. I would like to have that done so we could just chill there. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be, 'cause I, you know, that's why I keep trying to transfer the reservation, because Doug wants to be able to ride the boat back and forth and have the third beer, and not worry about having to call Uber. Yeah, because I need my license for what I do. And
or
even
the
minivan. even though after three beers I'm not drunk or anything like that, it just I don't like pushing that the envelope. If you understand what I'm saying.
No need to get even close.
Exactly. So it's so cool knowing that. Yeah, Doug, have the third one, and you're going to hop on the Sascola River boats and enjoy yourself and not have to worry about anything. So
it'll be nice to have all the construction done, but I wouldn't doubt that once some of the stuff's done that you're going to see, especially some of these shops and probably a restaurant or two, get cycled out at some point, because I don't think all of the stores are going to work. So they're going to be, you know, removing one and putting another one in, and maybe even a restaurant if that doesn't take off like what they're hoping to. I wouldn't be surprised to see one get flushed out and another one brought in. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, they've already done that at that
multiple times.
That one that has the four or five shops in it. They've changed a couple of
the co-op.
Yeah, the co-op. Thank you, John. I mean, that was one that they stated that on the front end that they were going to do that. You know, at times change out the storefronts. But I do agree that you know, I can think of one steakhouse that might not be there in the future. That's just me.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I have to try to go taste the food there. I mean, you know, it's a beautiful building. Like I said, right. I don't think anybody works there. That's the problem. But no, Pub Talk's been fun, guys. I know we were all over the place. We wanted to touch base with our newest cast member, John, and get some of the, you know, Z Miss is doing the Sunday news, don't you, John?
Yes, I do. Like I said last week, I mean, that was my ritual. I get up and make a big old breakfast for us on Sunday mornings and then come up here and talk to you guys for a couple hours. So, yeah, and I miss it, but I guess if I've got to go do something else, working at Disney is not that bad. So I'll take it.
Yeah, it's good for the show. When you get a chance, tell Michael Eisner, Bob Iger, we want the Springs done, please. Next time you get to talk to him.
Okay, and when I see you.
But no, this has been a lot of fun. I hope all you guys have a safe rest of your week. If you want to find John, you can find him at Beer Solo and the Weekly Pint. Have you done an episode of that lately, John?
Yeah, actually, we tried to record one Saturday evening from Animal Kingdom, but I don't think it recorded very well, so I don't know if it got mashed up or not. But yeah, there's an episode out now that just came out last week talking about Dave's trip to Brooklyn for some of the breweries up there. So
I heard that one. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, I actually had a Brooklyn lager last night at that Bonefish.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but so. Anyway, you can find John at Beer Solo and the Weekly Pint. Not that he deserves two plugs, but I have to do this in routine. I have a routine of saying this. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor. You can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. And you can find us all at WDW Main Street. Please, guys, head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. And everybody be safe, and we will talk to you real soon.
Good night.
Quaharini.
Oh, my God. Bye-bye. Well, if that's it, guys, it's last call here at the pub. We're going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and head on out of here. But before we go, let me tell you about two of our other fine sponsors. American Tourist Travel. If you need a Disney vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. Well, that's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a very safe and happy week. Bye-bye.